What's up, you guys? Sunday afternoon. I know it's not Friday, but I'm gonna rattle through some questions of the Ask All Friday. I did a long run today. I thought I rested yesterday. I was very hungover. Not as bad as after Dublin Marathon, but yeah, pretty hungover yesterday. I think I left bed maybe 2.5 hours of the day. Yeah, probably about that. In fact, probably 1 hour of the day, and the rest of the time I was in bed either watching TV or feeling very, very sorry for myself. So yeah, that was a day. I guess two okay reasons to get very, very drunk. You know, the result at Dublin, and then it was my 31st birthday. So I'm not gonna be too hard on myself about that, and you know, it's still only 2 weeks after Dublin and, you know, 5 weeks after Doha, so there's a lot of people probably just coming off their breaks right now. I did a long run this morning. It was pretty good. We were moving pretty well towards the end, but it's really tough. I'm finding altitude tough. Still my body. I think it takes me about 10 days before my breathing and things like that start to come good again at altitude. So, you know, I'm just struggling, getting comfortable again at altitude. You know, yeah, and my heart rate's certainly being thrown all over the place. So, ran with Chez this morning, and you know, it's not like I'm unfit, and like running alongside Chez just makes it seem so easy, and I'm working. But I love that. You know, there's nothing like that. Like, do I call it like humbling feeling of like that? Like, I look at someone like Chez, and I think that's real endurance. That's like so much strength. And you know, it's not the fun thing about Chez is it's not just this super talented kid. Like, he is a super talented kid, but Chez gaps you every day because of how disciplined his life is, and just how disciplined he is. And that's, you know, he lives a really balanced life. He eats really healthy, and you know, he didn't come bowling on Friday night because you know, it started at 7, and we probably wouldn't get done till 9, 9:30, and at that point Chez is probably getting in his Normatex and going to bed. He takes this business very, very seriously, and I guess if you want to be as good as Chez, then like you have to. So, you know, over the last 2 weeks when I've been pretty sloppy, and you could say it was earned, but at the same time, like, that's when people like Chez are just moving away from you. If ever you were catching a little bit, there's times like that where, you know, he just moves away from you again. And he does that every single day. You know, Chez is an out and out professional, 365, 24/7. So I'm just trying to get my internet to work, and that would be really annoying if it doesn't, because then I won't be able to do Ask All Friday. I'm just out in the car. So how do I? All right. I'm just gonna try to rattle through a few of these. I don't know how to get it back to like. Maybe I can. Do I click? I think I've just clicked latest on Twitter, and that might actually do it, because then I can go back to like the furthest back, and then slowly work my way through. 21st of the 6th, 2019. That's quite a while ago. Okay, 5 days ago. That's me 5 days ago tweeting that. Interesting. So I wonder was okay. So I'm gonna respond to a few of these that are. I hope I find them all. Okay. So Donald Dash says, any racing plan, drop the hammer and take a few wins wherever you can, champ. I think Houston Marathon's pinged in. You know, there's a really realistic chance that I can go to Houston, and I don't think I need to train a lot differently. I think I just need to correct a few of, I'm not going to call them mistakes, but like, you know, the travel to Doha definitely wouldn't have helped Dublin. And then traveling back from Doha to America, you know, having the week's holiday. Not going to say the week's holiday hindered Doha or Dublin, because, you know, maybe I need to learn something from that, you know, maybe 3 weeks out you have an easier week, and maybe it helps you absorb everything that you've done. But yeah, Houston Marathon's the next race penciled in. I think there's a very realistic chance of me running the Olympic qualifying time there, which would be a lot of fun. But I'm not really going to name a time, because I think I'm just going to work on the things that I know I maybe have done wrong in the past, and keep everything in there that's been good to me, and really just go there with a very open mind that, you know, maybe this is my time to run a really fast one. Okay. Mac says, utterly blew up in Dublin at 39K. Couldn't let go of sub 320 in the first marathon, and I didn't finish. The shame. I don't think that's shameful at all, by the way. Like, you know, the marathon is the marathon. But certainly, I think what people are going on to say here, yourself, how do you deal and let go of the ego on a run? As I think that was a big part. And I know there's other stuff here, avoiding S&C, nutrition, hydration gaps, etc. Look, at the end of the day, Mac, if you want to run sub 320, look, you know, you've got to do what it takes to run sub 320. And like, I don't know where your fitness is at right now. I'll answer this in two parts. I'll say if you blew up at 39K, chances are you were running slightly too hard, but you can't have been running that hard if you got to 39K. I know a lot of people blow up at 30, 32, 33. So you've done a really good job first and foremost to get to 39K. Trying to figure out the last 3K, it is a 42.2K race, so it is very important. You talk about fueling, hydration, nutrition, dialing things like that in are important. But sometimes it's just being patient and working away at the training that you've been doing and slowly increasing that training. Having an S&C program would certainly help you tolerate more training. And it there's probably an argument that it would help your running economy. And if you improve your running economy, you might get that final 3K. But I would say you've done pretty damn good to get to 39K. It's a tough course. I would say if you keep doing what you're doing over the next few months and maybe, you know, add a few new bits of training in there, like maybe some basic S&C, and you know, if you can increase your volume a little bit, or if you can train a bit more specific for your next marathon, like a couple more specific days or sessions thrown in there, you'll probably find you hit your goal. But look, respect that sub 320 is not easy. And if you give it that respect and you're willing to put in the work, then I would say you'll get your goal. In terms of leaving the ego behind, yeah, it's important. You know, I told people that before Dublin, you know, I meditated in the hotel room, and by the way, I'm not this fucking guru meditator and all the rest of it, but it is useful. And so I sat for couple of minutes, and my version of meditating is I watched a show called Vikings, and the like head Viking guy, who I thought was a fucking legend, he goes up the mountain to get ready to go to war. The marathon's a little different than that, so like the little ego things that I need to work on was like not being okay with letting like Mick Wahese drop me, being okay with like letting the elite Kenyan guys drop me. Being okay with, you know, a couple of the Irish guys just sitting on me like up a hill into a headwind, and being okay with that. And once you start acting emotional in a race, you know, whether it's racing a training partner or racing somebody else that's kind of pissing you off because they're sitting on you just let logic go. And once you let logic go, it's very difficult to like stick to your plan. And so ego is a really important thing. But you know, your ego might want you to be at sub 320 right now, and maybe you're actually at 330. But I think what you need to do in the next one is just hammer down a goal that you know you can achieve, go achieve it, and then work from there, one foot in front of the other towards the next goal. All right, next question. Daniel Stevens. Yeah, question that I'd have to swerve. Yeah, God, everyone's asking a lot of Vaporfly questions, which I can really see why. This is all I'm gonna say about shoe topics right now. There's shoes out there that are, you know, clearly fast shoes for the marathon. I don't think that I need to tell you which ones are. I think it's pretty clear. In terms of some of the other things that I can answer, like, do I think this is ruining the sport? Like, I know Under Armour's working on a fast shoe right now that will be out in January, and it's very similar to some of the shoes from these other companies that we're seeing, like Nike and Adidas and Brooks and Saucony and Hoka. They're including these carbon fiber plates, and I've ran marathons. In one of my first marathons was in a Nike Streak. I've ran London twice in a Nike Streak. I've ran London in a Adidas Boost. I remember the first time I ever wore an Adidas Boost that I thought it was like amazing that it like gave you something back. Like I said, Under Armour, as of January, Under Armour's gonna have an equal or better version than a lot of these shoes. So that's something that I'm really excited about. What do I think in terms of like, is it fucking up the sport? Is it? No, like I don't think so at all. I think if we look at it, the sport needs to move forward. The likes of the speed that Kipchoge ran for that sub two was phenomenal. How much of it came down to shoes, I don't know. Kipchoge's a phenomenal athlete, but look how much sort of press and media that running got because of Kipchoge. You had like Barack Obama, sending this guy a tweet. Does he do that without like the 20 million spent on that happening? No. So, I mean, actually, it's annoying that all the talk is about the shoes or things like this, because if you look at 95% of a field, especially an elite field, wearing maybe the same shoes, well, the best athletes are still coming at the top. And I am excited about like the future and when all shoe companies can catch up, I suppose you could say, and so the focus can go back to, athletes working really, really hard to achieve really, really good results. Okay, Tracy Atkinson, main tips for sub three. I'm obviously not a coach, but I think the one of the things I'm very good at is laying a result down, whatever that result is. Let's say I'm a 3:15 marathon runner and I run 3:15. I'm really good at analyzing and reviewing everything that I did to achieve that goal, and then doing a bit of research about the sport, maybe looking at the elites and anytime you can get useful information online about what elites do. It doesn't mean you have to copy it like word for word or absolutely every single thing that they do, but it's certainly nice to be able to, just pick up little tips and little ideas of how you can take your 3:15 and move it in a positive direction. You might pick up nutritional tips. You might pick up like individual sessions that might be able to help you in your next build up. You might be able to just look at your last build up and figure out little ways that, you could maybe improve that. And then logically speaking, if you improve your last build up in five different areas, well, logic would tell you that you'll probably run faster in the next one. Or you could just pick a faster course. That helps too. Okay, Zara Susan, I've been injured on and off for 6 months, and now I finally feel like I'm on my way back. I'm finding it difficult to remain positive through slow and steady progress. What are your tips for remaining patient and trusting in the process? Okay, so sorry to hear that you've had problems on off. I have psychological problems on a daily basis. I'm kind of just kidding, but kind of not. What do I do? Some of my tips would be like maybe to find running buddies. I'm lucky that when I'm in Flagstaff and even in Belfast, like there's a lot of different people involved in my running, and people have different levels of inputs, and sometimes I just run with people. I have psychologists, nutritionists, and so if I'm really struggling, then sometimes it's like I feel this like pressure to owe it to those guys to, motor on and not give up on it just because I'm having a tough day. I've said this many times, trusting in the process. How about just enjoying the process? And starting to focus on, apparently, if you write down three things you're grateful for every day, in 21 days, you can completely change your attitude. And so, to write down three things that you appreciate about running and what it does for you, whether it's routine or structure, or allows you to eat a little bit more, or allows you to enter races and have a goal. And there's all sorts of different things that running can do for you and give you. So Yeah, look, try to enjoy the process, like try to enjoy the hard days. I was really struggling on that long run today, and I used to kind of like huff a little bit when it got tough, and it's a place that I don't often get to is where like I'm really starting to struggle. And you know, me and Chez are starting to run 520, 530, and we're rolling on these hills, and I'm like I told myself to get to mile 15, and then if I get to mile 15 I can kind of cruise home. And then I was like, no, fuck that, you know, you're gonna go all the way. And like today's the first day, and this is where I want my brain to be. But like I once had a conversation with Evan Jaeger in St. Moritz, and I said, you know, like if a runner beats up on you in training and he drops you or he makes you work harder than you wanted to, you should thank that runner. You shouldn't be annoyed, you shouldn't get upset, you shouldn't get all hot and bothered. You should thank that runner, because running is really tough, you know, it's one of the toughest sports there is, if not the toughest sport there is. So you know, those good days, you almost need to just thank running for giving you that hard. Sorry, those bad days, you almost have to thank running, or you know, just be thankful to be put in that position where you either had to question yourself or you had to struggle and then overcome something, because it really sets you up well for maybe the next race or life or all sorts of things like this. But I think you can flip a really negative situation and make it a really positive experience, especially if you can get through it. So I mean, Chez dropped me on the uphill coming up the last mile, and I think he was running like 520 pace, and it's 7,000 feet, and we're climbing this pretty steep climb, and I mean I'm hurting at this point, and I'm just kind of smiling inside, because I'm like, in the past I would have got pissed off about that, and I probably would have like been like annoyed at Chez for like dropping me. But honestly, like I'm in a different like headspace now, where I'm just like I'm excited about it. I'm like I can't wait till I can just keep up and maybe be the one pushing the pace. And actually, I thought if I didn't drink 20 double Jamesons on Friday night, I'd probably have done a better job of keeping up. But yeah, look, enjoy the process. Trust that it's going to be a difficult process. Running's really tough, but it's going to make you really strong and tough. So you know, that's exciting. Okay, Bernard Rowe, what's your easy run pace? Do you go by heart rate? I think at altitude, I pay attention to heart rate a bit more. Recently, I've been trying to go back to like doing like zone runs. Trying to like, you know, I have 2 easy days a week. So like I have a Monday morning and I have a Thursday morning, and I really try to dial it back. And maybe that means running with somebody that I know runs a bit slower, or perhaps not running with somebody that I know runs a bit quicker. But most of it's like, I'd be lying if I said all by feel, because I do wear a heart rate strap most days. My run pace is probably between 6 and 7 minute miling at altitude. At sea level, it's a little bit quicker. My heart rate doesn't really go up that high at sea level, so I tend to have to run a little bit faster. But I try to make sure I'm at least 10 beats away from the kind of heart rates that I'm going to run in the early miles of a marathon. Just to be smart, and not to be sort of hurting myself on a daily basis. But yeah, certainly a mixture between pace and actually very rarely pace. I don't go out with any pace in mind. But I often do runs where I kind of want to put the heart rate to a certain heart rate. I did a lot of threshold testing, and I've done a lot of threshold testing over the years to kind of figure out my zones for heart rate. Okay. I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Ina Kavanagh, what is your diet like for a block of training? And how regimental is it? And do you allow yourself to be a takeaway or treat within a training block? Absolutely, mate. I allow myself probably far too many treats. I just love food. Look, weight has become a really big issue over the last couple of days. If anyone's been following what's going on with Mary Kane and Nike, and that's a really difficult one, and something that I like literally would never ever comment on in a million years. Weight's a massive thing in running. You know, I do believe you should race at not necessarily the lowest, healthiest weight that you can get to, but certainly the happiest, lowest, healthiest weight you can get to. And what I mean by that is, you know, I just watched Game Changers, and I'm sure everybody's fucking watched Game Changers on Netflix. And you know, I thought about it, and I thought about giving this vegan thing a go, and you know, maybe that's the difference between making the Olympics. But for me personally, I don't think it is, because like I love food, and I love, you know, fried chicken. I love going to a breakfast spot here in Flag, and getting pancakes and bacon and sausage and all that good stuff. I genuinely believe that it makes me a happier person eating the food that I want to eat. But I think I've fucked up in the past, in the last 2 or 3 weeks before a marathon, and maybe cut my weight far too much. I'm also really good at that. I'm really good at like just going to salads and you know, I'm a bit stubborn and ruthless about it, and I end up losing 4 or 5 pounds, and maybe it makes me happy that I've got down to kind of the weight that I have hypothetically decided I want to race at. But I often think it's maybe hurt my performances, and you know, maybe I struggled at Doha from trying to cut too much weight, and then I went to North Carolina for a week and ate fried shrimp every single day. Honestly, I ate so much fried shrimp in that 1 week. I think I gained about 4 pounds in a week, and then I went and had one of the best sessions I've ever had in my life on the Saturday. So, you know, you tell me. I don't know. I don't know all the answers. I think balance is good. I think having a structure is really important. One thing that my nutritionist taught me was, you know, if you're going to do a hard day, you're loading the day before. And then you can have a decent meal after your hard session, but then it's okay to sort of cut the carbohydrates and stuff back for a little period of time. And she kind of explained it as carbohydrates to fuel training. And then apparently by cutting the carbohydrates quite a bit, like not the first meal after you've trained because you need carbohydrates back in, but like the meal after that, you're cutting the carbs to like absorb the training better. I don't know how accurate that is, but I trusted in it, and that's generally what I do. Okay, Shane Clark, you touched on a little before Dublin, but any more thoughts on nutrition? Okay, I do think I covered that. The week itself, I'll touch on that. You did say changes for just that week. Before Dublin, I was far less strict. Dublin became this Hail Mary, and I was like, you know, I'm not gonna like put any pressure on myself, and I'm just gonna go with the flow. And so I did cut carbs, but like nowhere near as much as I have done in the past. And what I mean by that is probably from like Sunday the week out to like Thursday almost, I used to really cut the carbs down, and then Friday and Saturday I would load quite heavily. Before Dublin, I did do that a little bit because I was tapering training a bit more, but I certainly wasn't super strict with it. I mean, I was eating cheese naan toasties and sausage rolls and everything the week at Dublin. I don't get me wrong, I'm not gonna start preaching eating sausage rolls and cheese naan toasties in the week of a race, but like, you know, I'm not gonna rule out the fact that I've spent 3 years at altitude at this point and trained my ass off and cut weight all the time, and let's not ignore any of that. But what those final 2, 3 weeks before Dublin did, just like the crowd on the day, it just put me in a really happy place. And when you're in a happy place, you know, and you're super fit, it's pretty hard to beat. And I think that really helped. Okay, Shane O'Farrell, if you run, say, 5 times a week plus one gym session, what makes it easy speed tempo long? Doing about 60 to 65 K, targeting 10 mile race in February. Remember, Shane, that you don't have to squeeze it all into 1 week. So you know, on your, you might be better working off like a 10-day, sort of like schedule, and that would be like a 2-weekly one where you're looking at like trying to do, you know, at the end of the day, if you're gonna do 7 runs a week, which you're not, but you can still work it off a 7-day cycle, but you know, your next 2 days will run into the next week. You know, still stick to your 5 runs a week. And I'm gonna say you're gonna look at probably having, you know, start the week on a long run, let's say. You know, your next day might be easy to recover from the long run. Your next run could be some intervals. And then you're gonna go back to easy. And then you could go to a medium long run day. So it's not quite as long as your long run, but it's longer than what your easy run would be. And then you can go to another easy day, and then you could go to some type of threshold, whether it's half marathon or marathon effort. You know, if you're looking at a 10 mile race, then your intervals could be, you could alternate one of your interval sessions as a 5K type session. You could have a 10K type session, and then you could, I would still advise on your threshold day to do half marathon like 1 week. and then it could be a week and a half before you come back to it, but then you would do marathon. So to repeat that, long run could be your first one, followed by an easy day. And then you could have an interval session, which is either 5K or 10K, or hills. Hills are really important too. Then you could have an easy day after that. Then you could do your medium long run. Then you could have an easy day. Then you could have your threshold stroke, marathon stroke, tempo pace type work. And then you could go back to an easy day, and then you've fallen back to like your long run day. But like I said, you don't have to squeeze it all into 1 week. Just see it as like a prerequisite. Okay, when was the last time I did an interval session? Okay, it was a week and a half ago, so it's probably time for me to do that again. And that would be a good way to do it. Always hear you banging on about having a Chinese. What's your recommendation to have? Bearing in mind, I'm trying to keep it healthy-ish. Don't want to get carried away and feel like a fat effer the next morning. Wink, elephant emoji. Honestly, I would never recommend you try to have a healthy Chinese. A week before Dublin, I went to the Chinese. I'll tell you exactly what happened. I wanted to go out and party. Not that I'm like not disciplined, and I just love spending time with my friends at home, and they were all going partying, and I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna get a Chinese and watch a movie, and that'll help me behave. And so I call the Chinese and I order chicken fried rice, curry sauce, and I got sweet, no, salted chili. It was actually salted chili chicken, but it was special salted chili. So you got chicken, beef, prawns, blah blah blah, and a portion of chips. That would probably feed about three people. And then about 5 minutes later, I felt really guilty and I was gonna not go get it. Even though I had paid for it, I was gonna like not go get it. And then instead of not going to get it, I went to the shop and bought myself a can of Fanta Orange, a can of Coke, a bag of Haribo, and a bag of Midget Gems. Then went and collected the Chinese and like ate it all. Oh, and what I bought chocolate too, a whole nut bar. That was a real fat night. I didn't eat it all. You know, I left like I think I left a bag of Haribo and the chicken fried rice till like the next day. Or I had some of the rice that night, but I loved every minute of it. You know what I mean? You just can't. Some things you just. If I went vegan and like didn't eat these kind of things, like you know why I went and got that? Let me tell you exactly why I went and got that. I decided that I'm tired trying to be a Kenyan or an Ethiopian. I am not a Kenyan or an Ethiopian. I am Stephen Scullion, and Stephen Scullion loves fucking Chinese, and so I'm going to eat a Chinese a week before a marathon. And that's so true. You know, you got to be you. You can be far better at being a very strong version of yourself than being a really weak version of a Kenyan and Ethiopian. Do you understand? You know, we're far better at just being us and being strong. Like when you're happy and you're strong, whereas if you're constantly standing on the scales every day and trying to be like 125 pounds, like a Kenyan or an Ethiopian, you're just going to be miserable. And miserable athletes are not fast athletes. But yeah, right, I'm on 28 minutes, so I'm going to answer like two more questions if I can find a few more. I think I've answered quite a lot of them. Shit, latest, 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 latest. Brian Sexton, what are the Under Armour racing shoes that you run in called? Are they or similar commercially available in stores in Ireland? So at the Irish 10K champs on the track, I wore the Velocity Racer, but a black version. I train quite a lot in what's called the Velocity Trainer, which is available. It's sort of a tempo shoe. But like I said, Under Armour marathon shoe will not be ready until probably January or February of next year. They're still in very, very early prototypes of that. And so yeah, we're just trying to work that out. Okay, last question. Kevin Mooney. Hi Stephen, congrats on Dublin. If given the choice, when do you think is the best time of day to complete an interval session? First thing in the morning before breakfast, or in the evening after a day at the office before dinner? Very, very, very good question. That's a very good question. I guess it depends on the individual. Some morning people are okay. I would say if it's a threshold day, like a half marathon type day, then before work is absolutely fine. Couple of reasons. Not having breakfast is actually okay before a marathon. It's supposedly very good at teaching your body to burn fat. For the likes of an interval session where it's 5K, 10K, and you really need to be switched on mentally. Yes, I know you can get a little bit tired at work, but at least with 2 or 3 hours to go in work, you can like have a bowl of porridge. You can start to sip on like a Powerade or a Gatorade or a Lucozade, et cetera, for that hydration. And like if you even really need it, you could bang a Red Bull India with about 90 minutes to an hour to go. I would definitely do that, but I would probably fizz it up a bit so that it goes flat, and then I would throw it down me and I'd be all excited about it. And I would even like picture myself on like a Tuesday knowing that it's Red Bull day and like waiting for the clock to just get to like let's say like 2 p.m. because you finish work at 5, and at 2 p.m. you have your bowl of porridge. At like 4 p.m. you can start sipping on your Red Bull and you can start doing like some activation stuff like underneath your desk and stuff. You know, you can have some fun with it too. But yeah, honestly, I think for hard intervals, like it'd probably be very difficult to do that super early in the morning and get the quality out of it that you need. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Yeah, look, I hope I answered questions as thoroughly as I could. For obvious reasons, you know, I'm not gonna dive into some of the questions too much. But yeah, look, I appreciate you guys throwing in some questions. And if you're listening and you didn't realize that Ask All Friday was back, you can throw in some questions for next week. You guys will probably pick this up Monday, so it's Ask All Friday on Monday. But I hope you all had a brilliant weekend, and you know, have a cracking start to the week's training, and let's go for a very disciplined, smart, and behave yourselves this week. It's very early in winter, and you don't want to fuck things up too soon in winter. So you know, work on something different this week, whether it's hanging back a little bit on some of the runs, or you know, whether you're working on your discipline, or you know, maybe something that you need to work on is actually working hard. For some people, that's you know, that's something that they gotta improve. You know, you gotta get yourself to that place where you're feeling uncomfortable, and then go again and push harder. And yeah, I think that's gonna pay off for a lot of people.